Our reading is taken from the Old Testament, a few verses from Exodus chapter 5. It says, "And afterward Moses and Aaron came and said to Pharaoh, 'Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go that they may celebrate a feast to me in the wilderness.' And Pharaoh said, 'Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and besides, I will not let Israel go.' Then they said, 'The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword.' But the king of Egypt said to them, 'Moses and Aaron, why do you draw the people away from their work? Get back to your labors.'" The background to this is that God had heard the cry of the Israelites. They'd been almost 400 years in captivity by this time, and God heard their crying in captivity. And Moses, who had gone out of Egypt because he'd murdered one of the Egyptians, he then sees God in the burning bush. And there was a cartoon in the Prayers and Sanctuary First this week. There was one of the cartoons which was showing Moses and this burning bush, and he's got this fire extinguisher putting out the fire. The first time that he saw God, he extinguishes the bush. But God appeared to Moses in that burning bush. And perhaps sometimes we're tempted like that to extinguish God when we see him, or we don't recognize him when he appears to us. But he appeared to Moses in that burning bush, and he gives Moses a message, and he says, "I want you to be my messenger. I want you to go, and I've got a mission for you, and I've got a message for you, and I'm giving you miracles that you can go to Pharaoh and demonstrate that I am God and that I want you to let my people go." And so he goes to the Israelites, this people all through Genesis. They've been known as, it's all been about these families, and then suddenly in Exodus we get to this people. They've grown into this whole people of God, and they go to the elders of these people, Aaron and Moses, and they say, "We've got this message, we've got this good news. God is going to rescue you." And it says in the last verse of chapter 4 that then they bowed low and they worshipped. And so this good news, their response is to worship God. But I reckon there's some times when we don't really feel like worshipping, when we're in captivity, when we're in a situation where we really can't see the way out of it. And sometimes worship is facing up to that reality, is recognizing who God is in the midst of all that, is hearing from God what he's saying about himself. And sometimes that can be really difficult when we're in a hard place, when we're in a place where we really feel that we're trapped and we can't see a way out. And like the Israelites, we maybe need to hear God reminding us that we are his special people. We are his special child. We're a child, a part of an amazing family, a part of a special people. It calls us a holy nation. We've been set apart by God for a special purpose. And in Scotland, I think sometimes we can get really down on ourselves, and we don't really like being told that we are special. Or if somebody asks us, you know, "What are you good at?" Or, you know, what's your speciality? "Oh, I'm not really good at anything." Or, you know, and we're very quick to put ourselves down. And this can have an impact on our worship if we don't see ourselves as special. And it can take an effort, can't it, to come before God in worship when he calls us apart, as he called the Israelites, and he's saying, "I want you to come apart. I want you to go 3 days." Now, 3 days was quite a journey. That was really, that was the distance to Sinai. So that was to this holy mountain that God was asking them to go. And that distance can be quite an effort. In our morning devotions that we have here in the church, all the people that work here in the church during the week, we those that are in, we gather at about 9:10 each morning, and we go through a little liturgy, which comes from the Northumbrian community. And one of the questions it asks is, who is it that you seek, the leader says, and we respond, we seek the Lord our God. Do you seek him with all your heart? Amen. Lord, have mercy. Do you seek him with all your mind? Amen. Lord, have mercy. Do you seek him with all your soul? Amen. Lord, have mercy. And we say that every morning. And sometimes I sit there and it's really challenging. Am I seeking with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul? You know, and you think of all the different bits where there's that bit actually where I know that I'm not wholly coming before God. And so it's a challenge every day that we go through that in our morning devotions. Do we seek it? Are we seeking him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind? We're going to watch another meditation, which is called You Are Amazing. And when I first saw the title of this, before I'd looked at what it was, I thought this was all going to be about God. God, you are amazing. But let's watch it and see what it's about. When we come into worship, we begin to see how God sees us. And I think that's really important, because if so often we focus on the spiritual things, and yet God made us human. And Jesus came as in fully human form, as a human being, to show us what it means to be fully human, to live as human beings. And so often we put our human side down and we focus on the spiritual, and we sometimes neglect the fact that we are human beings, yes, with a spirit, but God has put us here to live fully as humans, to live full lives, and that is by being filled with his spirit, but still being fully human, just as he was. So God called them, he said, "Let my people go, that they may celebrate a feast to me in the wilderness." It's interesting, God often takes us apart to a wilderness place, to a desert place. They weren't always places of complete dryness. Some of them were, but some places had springs in them. Some places were where people would pasture their flocks. And so they weren't always completely dry places. And as the children of Israel found, there were also places of provision where the manna was provided, where God was there. And so God takes us apart to a place where we have to rely completely on him, where there is nothing in us, but it's just a place of complete dependence on God, a place where we can be in his company. And why? Why does God take us apart? Why does God require our worship? Albert was saying this morning, God is completely self-sufficient. There is nothing in God that needs our worship. So why does he require it? Why does he draw us aside and take us? And why does he want Pharaoh to let his people go? It's quite interesting, actually, when you read this passage, and the first time you can see Moses and Aaron, they've had this amazing experience. Moses has seen God in this burning bush, and then he's had this little tiff with God about, well, you know, I can't really speak well. Do you really want me to go? And he says, okay, we'll use your brother Aaron, and you go as a team. So, but they're all enthused, and they go running to the elders, and we've heard from God after all this time, and God's going to rescue us, and they go running in, and you can imagine them going up to Pharaoh with all this enthusiasm and saying, "Pharaoh, you've got to let us go. You know, this God, our God, has called us into the wilderness." And what do they say the first time? It's interesting. He says, "That we may celebrate a feast." And Pharaoh goes, not on your life, I'm not letting you lot go to stop work and to go off and celebrate a feast. And then you can see that they maybe think, maybe this wasn't the right approach. So the second time when they say it in verse 3 is, please let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness so that we may make a sacrifice. So they change their story a little bit and they put it back into the way that maybe Pharaoh would understand. But I think by that time, Pharaoh had seen through them and go, no, they're going off to celebrate in the wilderness. We're not having this. And Pharaoh should have understood this because they, all the peoples around had their gods and they all sacrificed. But I think they blew it a bit by sort of mentioning this celebration, because our God is a God who loves celebration. And when he calls us to worship, it is a time to celebrate God's goodness. And it's a community. It's a time when we can be together. But he also does take us into that special place, that wilderness place. And he takes us into that special practice of that takes the effort, that means a sacrifice, our sacrifice of praise, our sacrifice of time, our sacrifice of ourselves, our sacrifice giving up anything in us that thinks we can do it. That's what real worship is. It's recognizing that we cannot do anything in ourselves. We're special, yes, that you are amazing. We are special. God has called us as special people, but there is nothing that we can do ourselves. We come before God empty. And we come before God so that he can shape us. We're going to watch our final meditation called Shaping God. And after it's finished, I'm just going to leave a minute or two's silence just as we think about what this final meditation says to us, as we think about how God takes us, how God takes us to a place, who wants to take us to a place where we can be with him. So, not so we can shape God into our own image, not so we can make that idol that we were talking about this morning, but a place where we can put away all the other idols and we can let God shape us into his image.